Morning, everyone. We usually take a break about now and do a bunch of visiting and get all our coffee cups filled up. So if you would like to get your coffee cups filled up, whatever, do it, and then we'll get started here. Kelvin sent us another email out. I kind of got a kick out of this. He says, Friday night I was taken by the stomach flu to places where I did not want to go. So, you know, the flu hit him pretty hard. So, again, yeah. There's five of us now, and we're going to do like we do when Kelvin is not here. He picks the scripture. So we're going to be in John chapter 13, the first 17 verses. In John, and I'm going to start us out with the first verse. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is right before the Passover. Back in Matthew 26:18, it says, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples at this time, and he knows that his time is getting near to depart out of this world, because he knows he's going to be crucified. And he's with all his disciples, and he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. These are all of Jesus' very closest friends, his disciples that are with him here. And he says, he loved them to the end. Jesus' love is eternal, and that's what he meant here. He's telling his disciples he loves them to the end. He loves them eternally. And with that, I will turn it over to you.
Morning, everybody. We're going to keep going. I got 2 through 5. It says, and during the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You kind of get the feeling that something more is coming here, and that it's kind of leading up to something. But I kind of wanted to look a little bit at Judas versus Jesus a little bit. Growing up, I didn't understand Judas and why he betrayed Jesus. And growing up, the part where he killed himself was oftentimes left out of the story. I think as a kid, you know, you don't really understand the reason why Judas would do such a thing, or, you know, his purpose behind it. And you definitely don't always get the story of him in the aftermath of betraying Jesus. But I think it says that in verse 2, it says, during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. That verse kind of scares me, because it's a realization that God's not the only one that can touch your heart. That Satan's out there and can also get into your heart. And that's something that we have to really watch out for. And as a child, I didn't understand that. It wasn't until I was older and had experienced that came to light. That, you know, I can be like Jesus, but, you know, we can also be like Judas too if we're not careful. Judas heard the words of Jesus. Judas was loved by Jesus. Judas was served by Jesus. It didn't say Jesus washed everyone's feet but Judas. It's just that Judas didn't understand Jesus. Judas shows us that teaching is not enough. You have to believe Judas didn't have a lack of information. He had a lack of transformation. Now, Judas was with the 12 just as long as any of the other ones were. You know, he heard the stories. He saw the miracles. He watched Jesus serve. He got his feet washed that night. So it wasn't that he didn't have the information. It's just that the information didn't transform Judas. So he knew about Jesus. He just didn't understand Jesus. We do not look at Judas and think, I'm glad I'm not like him. Do we look at Judas and think, I'm glad I'm not like him? Or do we look at Judas and know that this could happen to me? Could I betray Jesus today? I think that just kind of goes along with not letting the devil touch your heart. Then let's look at Jesus. Jesus shows us that love is more than you feel. It's what you do. Jesus, out of love, was willing to get on his knees, pick up the dirtiest, nastiest part of a person, and serve them by making them clean. Even the person who would never love him back, being Judas. Jesus is still serving today. He loves us enough to take our dirtiest parts, the parts of us we think nobody would touch, or we think we can keep hidden, and make them clean. I'll close with, I heard a quote the other day. It says, to love Jesus means this world is as close to hell as you will ever be. To deny Jesus means this world is as close to heaven as you will ever be. So, with that.
One thing Calvin does when he gets sick or leaving, he makes a study. Starting with verse 6. So it came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, You do not understand now, but ye will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall ye wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you shall be clean, that are clean. So, I told Cal I understood this verse least of all, this foot washing thing, because in my childhood in the South, certain churches gathered together to have a foot washing. And so what people didn't understand, what these people don't understand, it's not a hygiene manner, he's washing his feet. It's a holy thing. Are we willing to wash each other's feet? Are we willing to let God wash our feet? Christ. Sometimes we have to be humble in order to rise above. Things happen. I studied and studied this lesson, but I didn't make any notes. And I see these other guys had them neat notes. Anyway, I thought of a lot more things. You know, Paul in Philippians 3, he says, I don't know everything, but this I know, I'm on track. You know, I'm on track, but I don't know everything. So if somebody comes to you and says, boy, I know everything, you know they're not on track. Jesus did this in order to sow service. Jesus said that before they said, I come to serve, not to be served. If we're going to be served, then we're in a category of kind of like we are in the world today, you know. We got to be served everything, all our bills paid and all our college and all that kind of stuff. Jesus says, I didn't come that way. I come to serve. So doesn't that put it up on us to be servants? Servants of Christ? Servants of one another? Paul says, I love you, brethren. Do we really? I think so. That, you know, every once in a while I come up with this idea that there's some good people in this world. I'm not the only one. But you see things done that people are not of your group, but they do good things. You see good things happening in this world. And that's what Christ is wanting us to do good things, to help one another, to do service to Him. When I help someone else, I'm doing service for Christ. When I give my means, I'm doing service to Christ. If we don't have Christ in our heart in order to do service, it's just too bad. We need to have a servant's heart, as Jesus did. Not what you can give me, but what I can give you. The last Democrat I voted for was John Kennedy. And he said, ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. Isn't that kind of what we're saying here? Ask not what God can do for us, but what we can do for Him.
It's hard to follow Larry. Because he kind of summed up the entire lesson right there. So we'll see if I have anything new or to add to it. But good job, Larry. Because all my notes, I just threw them out. Because so in verse 12... So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. That's that act of service. Well, it's actually twofold, because if you go into the verse prior, verse 11, where he knows that one among them is not clean. He knows that Judas is going to betray him. And he knows that in his betrayal, it's a sin against him. And so he washes his feet because he knows that he's not clean. And so Jesus comes to wash away our sin. And so this washing of the feet, parable, lesson, whatever you want to call it, is a washing away of our sin as well, exemplified. Just as we eat of the bread broken and we drink of the cup, we have this example of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples and in some ways exemplifying in the physical washing away the sin of those he is among. The other part that really speaks to me goes back to Luke 22, verse 27, where it says, For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So again, it's exemplified in his example to us, his physical example to us, that the greatest amongst us can help out the least amongst us. Or that no matter what station you are at in life, You have something to give to somebody else, a part of you that you can give. It's not always material items. It's not always money, status. It can be an act of kindness, an act of helping bring that person closer to in their own relationship with God. It's basically it's any act of service that you can perform or be a witness to another that helps with their relationship towards God through Jesus. And like I said, Larry kind of stole the rest of it for me, but this this term that I've come across lately, it's a well, it's a college master's level class that I enrolled in. It's the title of the class is Servant Leadership. And it's a business class, but they tie it back to making business decisions in a biblical context. And so in that reference, this act of service, this servant leadership, is that everything that we do in our life should be in service towards our relationship with God and helping others find their relationship with God. So that everything that is encompasses our entire life, our personal relationship with God, our business relationship through God, our relationship with others through God, is tied to that service towards one another and helping ourselves through our service to one another be better with our own relationship with God.
We kind of wrap up, I guess. I don't know if I can burn that much clock, but so Jack finished in verse 15 there, and I've got 16 and 17. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You know, just to reiterate what Larry and Jack and these verses are trying to tell us, Jesus' whole life was an example of being a servant. I can't think of a time when Jesus did something that was self-fulfilling, or that he was putting his needs or wants over somebody else's. You know, when we took communion this morning and broke bread, and you know, that was the ultimate example of servantship that Jesus, when he gave his life on the cross for us. And so I guess as we go out into the world, I really appreciated that quote. I need a copy of that quote. I don't know where you got that, but that I was sitting here thinking about that, and that's pretty profound how this world can, it's the same world, but it can mean two totally different things. You know, so as we go out into that world, you know, Satan is going to be trying to pull at us and tug at us and get us to slip up, and you know, he wants to cause the separation between us and God, and God is trying to pull us back in. And so I just I pray that we could try and find some examples, or find some ways, I guess, that we could try and serve others. You know, like Larry said, you know, it's not what you can do for me, as the president once said. It's, you know, in that case, what you can do for your country. What can we do for our fellow man, you know, our fellow brothers and sisters and people that don't know Christ, you know, because sometimes it's the one little thing that we do that it's the catalyst. It starts the ball rolling, and it maybe intrigues people. They see something different in us. And so That would be my challenge to us, I guess, is try and find ways that we can serve each other and serve those around us this week. So, thank you.